Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, you're tuned to Radio Islam International. The program is called The Power Half Hour. In a few seconds time, we'll be joined by Ronald Ebergy for the verbal fitness sessions, where we will be putting you through your paces for a short workout. Thereafter, we'll have a discussion focusing around eating before and after training. How should people go about it? And thereafter, at a quarter to two, we'll be joined by Janine Shamos. She's a transformation coach. And we'll be discussing, you know, this trend where people, whether it's Krispy Kreme or Starbucks or whatever, when it is these places are open, there's lines from the night before, people are sleeping in the cold just to be able to be among the first, you know, to taste these new treats. So what is wrong with these people? We'll find out exactly what makes them tick and why they do what they do. If you have a theory on why they do what they do, please do interact with us. SMS 48855. You can WhatsApp 0727861548 or Twitter at EJAZ_K. And it's time to welcome Ronald to the show. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, bro.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brother Jazz, are you well?
Yes, alhamdulillah, I'm doing well. How are you today?
I know you've been queuing up since yesterday for today's workout.
Yes, queuing up for workouts are fine, but what's your take on those that sit up the whole night waiting for Krispy Kreme or Starbucks to open?
Well, firstly, you shouldn't be waiting up all that, because that's just going to add to the waistline that you have to lose.
Yeah.
But secondly, it's a matter of, you know, there's nothing spectacular about these things. These are international brands that offer us donuts and offer us coffee. We can go and get Rick coffee from our cupboard, just mix it with different milk. So at the end of the days, I believe it's monkey see, monkey do, and those who just wanted to be there to say that they've been there first, you know?
Yep, so I guess you do not approve of this type of behavior, donut?
You know what? Half a donut maybe once a week, but not a full donut every week. But you know what? My approval is a matter of this. If that flicks your switch, alhamdulillah, congratulations to you. But I've got better things to do with my time than go sit and wait for a day and a half for a donut.
Indeed. Let's rather start with that workout, Ronald. Let's go for it. We're all set in hoping for another exciting sort of a style of doing it, as you've been putting us through these last few weeks.
Well, you know, today's workout is generally, I mean, we all know that it's been a wonderful sporting weekend, and, you know, the Comrades Marathon was run yesterday, and,
yeah,
you know, there's congratulations to everyone that participated. And today's workout is very much along the lines of, what do you do in the context of creating a comrades-type marathon in your home? But then I realized something.
Yeah.
I find running, for me personally, very mundane.
Okay.
So how can we spice up an indoor comrades obstacle course? And that's what we're aiming for today.
Okay.
So we're going to start off in any open space in your lounge area. You choose a space where you can go onto the floor and up again. Hopefully it's carpeted. So all I want you now to do is go into your tummy, go into the push-up position. And from the push-up position, I want you to take your right foot, your feet are together. Your right foot goes to the right, and it comes back into the center, touches your left foot, and then your left foot goes out to the left. So you're alternating your leg motion, keeping your legs straight. So this helps you shape and tone your side of your body, or the hips, but also helps you mobilize and warm up the entire body. And to hold yourself up, there will be a lot of stress and strain on the upper body. So this you do for 30 seconds, okay? I call these the laying down pendulum swings. So let's go for it. Right leg out, left leg out. Right leg out, left leg out. Now you keep on going with this exercise for 30 seconds, warming the body up. And you know what? If you do have young children and you're feeling really strong, let them climb on your shoulders so that you can support them on your shoulders, which adds more resistance to the workout. Keep it going.
Okay.
Keep it going. Good. And relax it down. Now, the next one we're going to do is the following. Many of us have couches out there. Now, if it's a 2 or 3-seater couch, that's okay. All that I want you to do is have a seat on the one end of the couch.
Okay.
All right? So you're sitting down, and you're going to sit down with your back upright, not leaning back into the backrest. From that position, I want you to stand up, take a small step to the right, and squat down. But as you touch the seat with your glutes, you're going to jump back up and move another step to the right. Jump back up, another step to the right. These I call the hot potato squats. So you do it to the one side, and you do it to the other side, and you go up and down on your couch non-stop, working your entire lower body, and also giving you some cardiovascular or fat-burning benefits. Are you ready, Brother Ejaz?
Let's go. I've already started.
Let's go. Oh, you are one step ahead here. I like this. Keep it going. Right, So you're moving it, and as you touch the couch, you've got to move back up very quickly so that you don't let the couch bear a lot of your weight. And you keep on going for 45 seconds. Don't stop, don't stop. You know, hot potato squats, hot potato squats. Keep it going, keep it going. Good, and relax it down. Once you're done with that, we're going into the next exercise. And the next exercise, you're going to choose to stand with your back against one wall in your living room, and then the other wall, there should be nothing in front of you. And now all I want you to do, something that you should be very used to, Brother John, known as shuttle run.
Yep.
So I want you now to run backwards and forwards as fast as you can, or walk as fast as you can. And you're going to go nonstop for 30 seconds, be from one wall to the next. And you're going for light foot contact. This high intensity cardio, people. Go, go, go. Sprint back. Sprint, sprint. Get the arms moving. Now, remember something. By trying to not go too fast, and before you touch the wall, brace yourself. That'll allow you to pull in more muscle fibers, because you have to literally put on the brakes when you're running. So these are short sprints that are highly explosive. This you do for another 45 seconds. Don't stop, don't stop. Keep it going. Good. And then relax it down. And the next exercise is, of course, very simple. Who's huffing and puffing there? So are you huffing and puffing?
No, I'm just breathing.
On to the next one for us, okay? We're going to be taking any magazines or books that you may have, all right? And what I want you now to do is keep those over your head, all right? Once they're over your head, you're going to tighten your abs, keep your elbows straight. Make sure they're quite heavy. It could even be pot plants. It could be lamps. It could be anything that's got weight to it. Hold it up over your head. And I want you to keep your abs tight, and I want you to squeeze to the right, squeeze to the left. So you're moving your upper body, like again, like a pendulum, but those weights are staying upright, and they're staying over your head, and the elbows are straight. Squeezing into your side, you work something known as your intercostal muscles between the ribs, but you also work the obliques, which are the side of the abs. The extra resistance on top, allows you to ensure that you get a tight squeeze on the side area of your body. So squeeze and tighten, change sides. Squeeze and tighten, chain sides. Squeeze and tighten. Now that you do for another 45 seconds. Keep on going, don't stop. Good, relax it down. And the last thing you're going to do, all right, if you have a partner, let them take one of the pillows off the couch, hold it in front of them like a punching bag. If they don't, I want you to face the couch, squat down into a wide squat position, look at that pillow, and I want you to punch that pillow as fast as you can for 45 seconds. Giving you something to punch at. Don't punch through it. As you touch the pillow, you pull your hands back. So you're going for speed punches. 45 seconds. Go, go, go. Don't stop. Good. Keep it going. And then you can relax. And that's an indoor obstacle workout, using what you have around you to get the best out of a workout for your body.
Brilliant stuff, Ronald. And now straight into the discussion. It says here, eating before and after training. How should people go about it?
You know, there's old philosophy, Brother Jordan. You know, there's a myth we need to debunk here. Many people say they will exercise first thing in the morning on an empty stomach because they burn more fat. Have you heard that one?
Yeah.
Now, that is old school thinking from the 1980s and 90s. And hello, people, we don't even watch anything from back in those days from a context of how we live our lifestyles and what we do. So time moves on and technology and science moves on. So the question is, do you work out better on an empty stomach? The answer is no. The second question is it better to eat before or after a workout? Now, very simple, is that with every workout session that you do, you want to get the best out of your training session. So if you have a snack before your workout, it will help you train harder for longer compared to exercising on an empty stomach. And the reason is this, is because by pushing a workout more intense, you are literally not depleting your energy stores. You have the energy to provide the muscle with fuel. Some people might argue and say, Ronald, but my fat will get turned into energy. In order to turn fat into energy that's usable, your body will first burn muscle, what you've eaten, then muscle, and then fat. It takes a long while for that to happen in your body over a long period of time. So you want to then prevent the body's response of breaking down muscle and rather, you know, utilize what you've eaten before your workout to give you energy for that workout. And that is how simple it is. And after your workout, you want to have the right type of carbohydrates and protein to replenish that you've lost in your workout, allowing your body not to atrophy on the muscle again or break down the muscle for the energy, but rather utilize what you've eaten to break down into glucose and amino acids to fuel muscle recovery, giving you the best element of your workout, which is your body will benefit.
Okay. Now, myself personally, I don't eat before training or before a match. Is that good or not? What should I be eating or drinking before?
Why is the first question, Brother Joseph?
Because I'm bang, I'm going to get sluggish during a game, or you want to eat, because I know usually if I eat, I'll eat duck. You know what I mean? I can't eat like small little meals.
You'll eat your duck and then go play the game.
Yeah.
You will get sluggish, you're right. So the golden rule is to consume a meal or, you know, or that's a drink that's high in carbohydrates and protein after your session. That's when you're done training. However, when you're talking about your pre-workout, your pre-game food or meal, you could look at a protein type shake. So, for example, you could make a smoothie for yourself, Brother John.
Okay.
So you mix in, you know, peanut butter and or maybe some fruit or milk or whatever goes with that. You can control the portion thereof,
mm-hmm.
and that'll at least give you some energy because it's a pre-training workout because you have high carbohydrates, essential fats, and of course you have some protein. The carbohydrates will give you energy for the game. Protein will help you sustain that energy throughout the game, giving you more energy so that you can push and be perceived as being fitter compared to the other players. But if you know, for example, that you eat a lot and that you will eat a lot before, you literally need to begin to train yourself to have smaller portions. So if you're playing a morning game, for example, then you could have a little bit of muesli with yogurt. That's great. If you're playing a game in the evening, then you could go make yourself a meal replacement of a protein smoothie,
okay.
you know, as an option. Or you could literally have a very small piece of chicken and a small salad, you know, that kind of a thing. Not the size of a big portion, but literally the size of a side plate. Not loaded up to the top, but very flat. And these are the things that you've got to look out for. It's not only what you eat, but the portion size of what you consume.
Cool stuff. And finally, Ronald, still keeping up with match day, why is it that if we're having a night game or after training, it takes a long time to fall off to sleep? How do you get rid of all of that energy that and adrenaline that you might have woken up during the game?
This is the problem when you train at a high intensity in the evenings, is that your body literally goes into a phase whereby you increase your vasodilation, so your blood vessels expand, your heart rate increases. Compounded with that, you're playing a game, so your adrenaline is pumping because it's competitive. You know, you're playing as a team. You don't let your team down. And that also increases your adrenaline. Now, adrenaline increase in the body doesn't just suddenly drop, you know, at the drop of a hat. It takes time for the body to work it through.
Mm.
And this is where the different organs in the body begin to break it down. One thing that you could do is literally, you know, you're going to have to sleep a bit later because you're not going to fall asleep and you're going to lay there and twiddle your thumbs.
Mm-hmm.
So what you then have to do is this is say to yourself, all right, milk has got shown to have calming effects, especially warmer milk, etc. Maybe a glass of that could help. Two is you literally have to begin to calm yourself down after the game. So then it's about the breathing exercises that you do, the 2-to-1 breathing method. It's about literally allowing your body to calm down, leading your body to realize that it doesn't need to be at a high adrenaline level because the game is now done and you're off to home, it's time to go and sleep. So it's about boosting one serotonin and dopamine level to help you feel good and also begin to calm down and relax. So you don't go out afterwards and go have a duck, oily chow, chips and rations, because that's going to compound your metabolism, because then your body's going to say, oh my goodness, increase metabolism to break this down. You've got to be very conscious of how you celebrate after you win a game as well.
Brilliant stuff. So just woosah, breathing exercises are key. Thanks so much for all the insights today, Ronald. We really look forward to it, and we'll pick it up, inshallah, tomorrow.
No, definitely so. Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ronald there with the verbal fitness sessions on the Power Half Hour. Coming up next, it's Janine Shamos, transformation coach. We're talking all about those people that sit up or stay up the whole night at new franchises. What is it that makes them do what they do? Stay tuned.
When life is hard, you know it can get hard sometimes. You are the only Lord, till I die. So I will pray.
Yes, indeed. It's time to welcome Janine, transformation coach, to the program. Good afternoon and welcome, Janine.
Thank you so much. It's great to be back.
Thank you so much for joining us. I hope you have joined us for the workout earlier on.
Yes, I did. A little bit out of breath. Definitely unfit. Yeah, it's important to follow that.
Brilliant stuff. And Janine, this topic for today, you know, why do people stay the night over at new franchises like Krispy Kreme and Starbucks? It boggles the mind. Is there something wrong with them?
I think there there's something wrong with our society as a whole. We live, it really does. I kind of think, I have the opposite reaction to franchises. I want to run in the opposite direction and hide from all the crowds and from all the chaos. But I think that we live in a society that is very much focused on being part of something that is a sort of a group activity almost, and not being left out of anything. So I was at the Elephant Park recently, and people were taking photos, and I was just standing there in awe of these majestic beauties. And I thought about it afterwards, and I thought, why are people, they're not engaging, they're taking photos, but they're not actually present in that moment. And I think for a lot of people who join that kind of Instagram, social media, tweets and Twitters and everything else kind of vibe, that we rush to Krispy Kreme so that we can say we were there. But were we really? You know, did we want to be there in the first place? So that sense of being part of something but actually being quite dissociated from it at the same time is a problem that we really are finding an increase of as social media becomes more hyped, as franchises in South Africa start opening up more and more. It is a pop culture problem.
Now, Janine, while this behavior does seem to be colorblind for the most part, when pictures are circulated on social media, there does seem to be a multitude of white people that are part of these long lines. Is there anything to read into that?
I think that, you know, maybe it is that kind of sense of accessibility in a way. I think, you know, there was a Krispy Kreme that opened, I don't even know how recently, in the Sandton area. And whenever I drive past there, there's certainly a lot more white faces queued up. When we saw the photos coming out and the reports coming out about the new Mall of Africa,
yes,
I was gobsmacked. People were standing in queues for 7 hours just to go into a shopping center. That's insanity.
Yeah.
But, you know, especially living in Joburg, there's so much else to do. But, you know, I think that we have that sense of accessibility, that sense of maybe we can read into it with the whites, people generally feeling a little bit we need to be part of a group. You know, we're white South Africans, but that's all. So I need to be part of something else. I need to be part of some kind of pop culture, a kind of drive. So that might be the reason. It might also be pure accessibility, that it's easier for them to be in that place at that time or have the money to be there. But it's an interesting question, and one that I'll certainly be considering and looking out at cues in the future.
Cool. Now, you know, do we live in a time of showing we have lives instead of actually living them?
Brilliantly put. And yes, I do think we do. I think that we live in a time where we recording ourselves really achieving very little, but we're very diligent about recording that. We put onto Facebook and to Instagram, onto Twitter, you know, I had this for breakfast, I went there, my child was this, you know, and I kind of, it's almost like we're doing stuff to fill our next status update or our next post, instead of being present in our lives and saying, I had a fantastic day, and I can tell that to my spouse or my sister or my brother or my friends. The rest of the world who don't actually know me doesn't really need to know. This is a me moment. This is an us moment. And I think we really have lost that to a very big degree. And that is problematic for our future socialization and happiness.
Yep. It's almost as if you've had a wonderful day or an activity and you didn't tweet it, Facebook it, Instagram it, it didn't happen.
Exactly. I mean, someone said to me the other day, can I Facebook this yet? I said, no, you actually can't. She says, oh, but then if it's not on Facebook, it didn't happen. Ouch, okay. You know, we need to kind of be a little bit more present in the moment. There's a quote that says, it's live an immortal life. Live a life full of things that you're proud of and that made you excited so you can recall them. And I think that really we've taken that a little bit too literally and said, well, I have photos for everything I did, instead of actual memories, and that's sad.
It is. And a picture that you sent earlier on, it says, what Orwell failed to predict was that we'd buy the cameras ourselves and that our biggest fear would be that nobody was watching.
I came across that and I loved it because I thought it's very, very true. You know, we post things and we wait in anticipation. Has anyone liked it? How many people have retweeted? How many people have, you know, loved it, liked it, passed it on, shared it? Instead of really feeding on our experience and our emotion from that experience, because that's what's important. It's not what anybody else thought of it. It's what you thought of it at that time.
Exactly. And it comes back to a discussion we had a couple of months back, Jadine, where are people looking for acceptance from others, acknowledgement from others?
Absolutely. I think we're living in an age where everyone almost wants to stand out, but not. You know, I think that's a common human thing, where you want to be an individual, but not really separate or unique. You want to fit in and be popular. And as much as that is a human need, is to feel wanted and feel accepted, we need to really be looking at, are we judging ourselves based on what other people think? Are we behaving in ways because they're expected by other people or because it's something we really want to do? Are we consuming things, whether it's Starbucks or Krispy Kreme or buying cars and houses? Are we doing that because we want to or because of what other people will think if we don't? And that's a question that is really at the heart of living a happy, fulfilled life and being transformed into a happier, more adjusted individual.
Hey, got a message from Sister Sumaya. She's saying that, yes, she agrees with Jadine. She says, people have moved from living in the moment to capturing pictures. Pictures are not memories.
So brilliantly put. Pictures are not memories. You know, our memories, I think of my grandparents when they would tell stories, and my grandmother was 96 when she died, and she would tell these amazing stories about her life, and there were no pictures to back it up. But I have the pictures very firmly placed in my head because of her stories and her memories, and I think we've lost that to a big degree, and it is very important that we get that power of storytelling back.
What advice would you have, Jeanine, for those that are maybe possibly in this, trapped in this type of lifestyle of living each day one WhatsApp update at a time?
Love that. I think it is so important to self-reflect and to start asking yourself the difficult questions. Am I doing what I'm doing because I want to? Is it fulfilling me in a healthy way? Or am I sort of judging my happiness and my satisfaction and my strengths and my growth areas according to what other people say they are? We need to be self-reflective. We need to be questioning why we do what we do rather than just, what am I doing? Why am I doing it? And at the end of the day, it's up to each of us individually to really look inwards, ask those questions, and make those changes. That if you feel that, actually, I've fallen into this trap, this is insane, this is how many WhatsApps I'm sending a day. And if you think you're falling into that trap, keep a diary. Look back. How many WhatsApps have I sent in a day? How many times have I updated my Facebook profile? Or status, how many tweets have I sent? Monitor that. Start asking yourself the questions. And then, very importantly, is to, you know, find out, what am I doing? Why am I doing it? And make those changes, because you need to as an individual.
Wonderful stuff. And Jeanine, is complete digital detox an option?
Yes and no. I think that we have the power to, at times, and within certain spaces, to have a kind of total detox and total shutdown. I think when it comes to our work lives or during the week, you know, we have to have cell phones or we have to be in front of computers or check emails. But I think a lot of people use that almost as a crutch, as an excuse that, oh, well, you know, I have to check my emails just in case, or I need my phone just in case. where that might just be really an excuse and you don't need that. So it is important that you set aside time where the computers are off, where your cell phone is off. Don't sleep with it under your pillow. Switch it off. If there is an emergency, is there another number that someone can phone? If you miss an update or you miss a group chat, you'll live. It's okay. So taking those times when you can step back from completely is important. Are we exposed to media all the time and to advertising and to billboards and to, yes, but we do have the choice not to check our status, not to get the updates all the time, to switch our cell phones off.
Brilliant stuff. And finally, are our real families sacrificed for our virtual ones?
I think we're sacrificing the real people in our lives and our real relationships, our tangible face-to-face relationships. When we look around, you know, at sitting in a restaurant or a coffee shop, and you look around at people sitting together having a meal, but they're all on their phones and they're texting or they're WhatsApping or they're checking Facebook or they're doing whatever, they're chatting virtually, but they're not connecting with people in their actual space. They're not making conversations. They're not creating human bonds. And that means that we sacrifice our families, friends, and our real relationships, which we're going to miss later on. And those are the ones that keep us healthy, and those are the ones that keep us happy.
100%. Let's hope that listeners will heed to those warnings. And we thank you so much, Janine, for your insights today. It's wonderful having you back on the show after quite some time.
Absolutely. Fantastic to be back and looking forward to more conversations.
Thank you so much and have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye now. Yes, indeed. That was Janine Shamos, Transformation Coach, talking about all the different aspects to why people do the things they do, like standing for hours at Krispy Kreme or Starbucks. Is it all about saying, you know what, I was there first? You know, does it taste different on the first day as opposed to maybe the 30th day after it has opened? I guess not. Maybe it does. Who knows? But the important thing is that, as Janine mentioned there, that we should not get engrossed and caught up in all of this, in this life of WhatsApp statuses, you know, to prove that you have a life. Just live your life and be happy. That brings us to the end and the close of the Power Half Hour for today. From myself, Ijaz Khan, and Sami Hajjar, it's Assalamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh.